Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Looking for a job in healthcare? Well, perhaps at the world-famous Cleveland Clinic. That is great. It's a wonderful calling, an opportunity to help people and make a difference in their lives. But if you smoke, you might reconsider applying for a job at the Cleveland Clinic, because if you flunk their nicotine-free urine test, well, sorry, no job for you this time. Our guest has very distinct opinions about the Cleveland Clinic's policy not to hire smokers. He is Dr. Paul Tripoluk, Cleveland Clinic's Medical Director of Employee Health Services. Dr. Tripoluk, welcome to Body Language.
Well, thank you for having me here, Christopher.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You got it.
That's good. It's always getting off to a good start. Tell me about the genesis of your We Don't Hire Smokers policy. And what brought that about, aside from the fact that you are a world-famous institution devoted to sustaining and maintaining people's health?
2007 was the year that we introduced not hiring smokers. However, it's important to put it in the context of a continuum of changing the culture to one of wellness from one of disease. And so we kind of view not hiring smokers as part of that continuum. We actually started this in 2004 when our current CEO, when he first got here at the Cleveland Clinic, made the campus non-smoking. And from there, we moved into things like wellness associated with the kinds of foods we offer at the clinic, offering things like free Weight Watchers and Curves and Fitness Center for our employees. And then ultimately, in 2007, the next logical step in that continuum was to not hire smokers as part of this process of introducing wellness concepts into our culture.
You have been quoted as saying, Doctor, that if our policy sounds harsh to some, consider that cigarette smoke contains hundreds of chemicals and compounds that are toxic and at least 69 that cause cancer. These chemicals travel throughout the body, wrecking havoc in the form of inflammation, cancer, heart disease, stroke, lung disease, and a weakened immune system. Sounds like a pretty sensible decision on your part.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it from a purely health risk assessment or health risk perspective, certainly you would want people not to smoke within your institution. So part not hiring smokers is part of that opportunity to reduce the amount of people that smoke and get a healthier workforce.
You were definitely leaders in this policy, and I'm wondering, what has changed since you adopted a smoke-free campus policy in 2005? Then in 2007, you went further, deciding to no longer hire smokers. A few years have intervened.
The world has, I think, taken note of our lead and is now moving in that direction. I think there's been quite a number of hospitals, several in the Cleveland area, that have followed this policy since 2007. So I think what people have come to realize is not so much that we're leading the charge here, but although we are, is that there's probably something that we were onto, which is essentially that smoking has a lot to do with behavior, and running a healthcare institution has a lot to do with how you look at certain behaviors and how they're related to health. So we kind of looked at it from a holistic perspective, that it's the right thing to do for as a healthcare institution is reduce the burden of smoking amongst your workforce. And I think other people are taking note, and obviously smoking is part of a host of chronic illnesses that come later in life, that if you can reduce the amount of smoking amongst your population, you can reduce the amount of cost associated and disease associated with those conditions.
Well, since the policy was instituted, fewer than 2% of job offers, about 300 out of 20,000, have been rescinded due to positive nicotine test results. Doesn't sound like a huge problem.
It has not been a problem for two reasons. One is, I think people self-selected to come here, knowing that we have this policy. And so people who do smoke, who don't want to give it up, probably chose not to come here, although we haven't seen a reduction in the amount of people that apply for jobs here, which was the argument going into this. And the other thing is that I think people have come to recognize that this is, I want to work at the Cleveland Clinic, it's a great place to work, perhaps I should quit smoking before I apply. And they probably have done that, not, unbeknownst to us. So they come here and actually can get through the screening process and probably never pick up a cigarette again, which is what we're really trying to do.
Do you give people a second chance if they're in your employ and they flunk the test?
For new hires, it's important to note that this only applies to new hires. We do not test our current employees for smoking.
Okay.
This is only a new hire process. So we hire anywhere between 3,000 to 5,000 people a year. Last year we hired around 7,000. So it's not an insignificant number of people that we test on an annual basis. And that's where the 2% figure comes from.
Our guest is Dr. Paul Terpeluk. He is the Cleveland Clinic's Medical Director of Employee Health Services, and we're discussing their policy of not hiring people who smoke and requiring a nicotine-free urine test as an element of being hired. You say at the Cleveland Clinic we have a unique perspective on the burden of chronic disease, which is at the basis of that decision not to hire smokers. We not only treat disease, but we also play a vital role in educating patients, health literacy, and employees about lifestyle choices. What is interesting, aside from the fact that you do practice what you preach, what happens at work goes home, and what happens at home goes to work. And my understanding in looking at the healthcare landscape is that the majority of claims for healthcare are not based on problems that occur on the job, but rather the result of lifestyle choices individuals make in their life. Is that accurate?
It's very accurate. About 40% of our total costs are associated with five chronic illnesses that are mostly associated with lifestyle choices, inactivity, overeating. So we have obesity, smoking, diabetes, which is a direct result of obesity, hypertension, which is a result of that. So we do actually know that there's a very strong correlation between lifestyle and certain chronic illnesses. So we focus on those chronic illnesses because they're directly related to the lifestyle. So the quicker you can get to helping people take control and response, become responsible for their lifestyle choices, the better off you're going to be in the outcome side of this thing.
Well, typically smokers put more financial pressure on employee health coverage. They have a greater rate of absenteeism. They take more unauthorized breaks and therefore achieve lower productivity. And a very interesting thing, they engender resentment on the part of other employees who don't smoke because of the breaks they take. And frankly, they smell bad and they make a mess. Smokers annoy employees because the employer is seen as accommodating their addiction.
Correct.
Is that a bit harsh on my part?
No, it's very accurate. I think the issue you got to focus on, though, is that it is an addiction. It's very difficult to stop smoking. The average smoker tries to stop, I think, 20 to 30 times in their lifetime before they're successful. So you have to approach it as almost a chronic illness that it will continually relapse. And because of that, our approach is to help people rather than tell them, you know, we're not going to help you. So for our current employees, we offer a very robust smoking cessation program. We encourage people to give up smoking by making these things free. And for the people who are new hires who actually were tested positive, we actually encourage them to reapply in 90 days. And in the interim, we offer them a smoking cessation or a tobacco quit line, some opportunity for them to actually quit smoking. So we don't give up on them. We actually encourage them, if they really want this job, they should consider stop smoking, and we'll help you do that. So we approach it from a chronic illness perspective because it is truly addictive. And even though everyone has all of the opinions that you just voiced, because that's the way they feel at the workplace, and we do know all those things are true, you really do have to solve the problem by getting people to quit smoking.
You're also setting a very, very valuable cultural precedent at the Cleveland Clinic in terms of being very serious and, as you say, walking the talk about health. Our guest has been Dr. Paul Terpeluk, Cleveland Clinic's Medical Director of Employee Health Services. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.